The power to bless, because this is one area where a lot of us men, even though we learn how to bless our children, we don't remember how to bless our wives. The power to bless that woman was placed in the mouth of Adam also. A woman shall she be called. He pronounced a blessing upon her. And listen, when we're talking about blessing people, like we read from here, I told you I learned that in life very early. One of the reasons why I learned it. One of the ways I learned it, the thing that struck it in me. Remember the story of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the father of Esau and Jacob. What was his wife's name? Remember the wife's name? Rebecca, yes. Do you know how long they were married before they had that those boys, Jacob and Esau? Esau and Jacob? 20 years. This man was 40 when his mother died, and they brought a wife for him. That's Isaac. He was 60 when those boys were born. But that's not the gist. The gist for me is that the Bible says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake, and she conceived. I said, wait. Read that again. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake, and then she conceived. I said, bros, it took you 20 years to entreat the Lord for your wife. These things were recorded for what? For our learning. These things were recorded for our learning. So I said to myself, Banky, entreat the Lord for your wife's sake from the beginning. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the reason Rebecca conceived and had those two children was simply because Isaac asked the Lord to please show mercy. Which implies, if you look at it closely, it implied that he did not do it for 19 years. Many of us are negligent. Listen, I learned these things. Let me tell you the truth. Anything I'm teaching you today, I didn't learn it from my father. I didn't learn it from my mother. I did not learn it from the culture around me. I read my Bible and I discovered every single one of them from there. It's not a cultural matter. Because sometimes when you are teaching people, they say that, you know, you are Yoruba man, you are able to respect people. Listen, don't say that. Listen, I'm preaching, so you must be careful how you judge the word of God. And I'm warning you ahead of time, don't even say that when I get what I want to say. Listen, this is what I do for my wife. I wish her the best in life. That is for a number of, apart from the fact that she's my wife, but my wife makes sacrifices, which shows you that she values her husband, she values her family, she values her children. And I always pray to God that please, you will reward her, please. And so what do I do? A lot of mornings, my wife will just come, maybe I'm lying down, she has gone, and she'll come and say, my husband, good morning. I just say, come here, kneel down here. I'll put my two hands upon her and spend the next 5 minutes pronouncing the blessings of heaven. It shall be well with you. You will see your children's children. You will prosper in life. You will be so rich you won't know what to do with money. Your children will see you and call you blessed. You will be safe from all accidents. Evil men will not see you. Evil will not happen to you. That is, I can spend 5 minutes in the morning. I said, go, you will prosper. Go, you will save. Listen, it's not because I'm a preacher, it's because I'm a husband. It's an anointing upon every Christian husband. Listen, any position God puts you in life, he gives you an anointing to carry it out, the functions thereof. If God makes you a driver, as an example, say, drive this car, he gives you the ability to maneuver. If he makes you a husband, he automatically puts upon you the anointing to be a husband and to be a father. The same thing God taught me long ago, I do to my children also. But as they are going to sleep, I say, come, have you given me a hug? No, I give you a hug. And I say, you will sleep well. You will have sweet dreams. You will wake up well. Evil will not come upon you. You will live long. You will live into old age. Listen, it's a regular practice. It's not when I'm feeling spiritual. Some people do it after fasting and praying. Even after 18 pounded yam, I do it. You know why? It's a commandment. He said to Aaron and his sons, thus will you bless the children of Israel. You will say to them, what you say, you know, some people, when they wake up in the morning, you must say today again, nobody should get me angry this morning. I have woken up today now. Look, God will punish somebody today. You have set the pace for the day. Is the day, that day is bound to be a horrible day. Because the priest has pronounced horribility. Is there an English like that? Listen, these spiritual things are more important than the outward things, though. When your children are not there, when your wife is not there, you kneel down and you pray for, not just prayer, you know what I mean, church prayer. Where's my prayer book? Today, as we go out, forth in thy name, O Lord, we go, our daily labor to pursue, the only day is it reserved to know, you know, the hand that I do, I say, and say, you just recite it and say, oh, yeah, let's go. No, it's more of, you look at people with, in quotes, this is the word now, pity. That is, you just look at this son, this daughter of yours, you know, this child, and say, you just think to yourself, ah, you mean if I don't bring food home, this will not eat. Hey, God, though, give me the ability to always bring food home, that they will always eat. It's a crucial prayer. When they are in school, you are not there. The other day they called me, my daughter caught herself in school. If I had to carry her to hospital, go and stitch the deep cut. I was still looking at the scar this morning. In fact, this is the funny part. Before I left the house, she said, because they were dressed to go to church. I said, Daddy, where are you going? Are we going with you? I said, no, I'm going somewhere to preach. I said, okay. So he said, bye-bye. So as he said, bye-bye, I looked at that hand. I brought the scar. I looked at the scar again. I began to prophesy over his scar. I said, you will heal completely. Nobody will know you are there. It's my duty. It's my job. It didn't say do anything more than what? Say to them. You shall say to them. We need plenty of repentance, so many of us Christians. You don't, you know, people think, you know, a lot of us, my mother used to do it too. When it's time to go to school, my mother would drag him by the hand. Come, let's go and see daddy. Daddy is a big pastor, you understand? I'll go there, daddy, good afternoon. Hey, Banky is going back to school. And daddy will say, okay. And he will put off his hands or lay hands and pray. And that man, I believe his prayer was very, very anointed. Anointed man of God. It's good. But should I tell you the truth? If you're a godly parent, it's not necessary. You are the daddy. Are you getting my point? And a man anointed as a pastor was not anointed to come and be blessing your children for you. He was anointed to teach you the word of God and give you direction in the things of God. When it comes to blessing your children, if I say this will surprise a lot of people, I say, listen, let me not even go there yet. Let me not go there. When the time comes for my daughters to marry, I will do the wedding myself. It's not because I'm a man of God. Oh God. If you don't like, go, you are not married. Well, when I finish, you can carry her to wherever you want to go. You will come to my compound first. This is not traditional marriage. This is my new tradition I'm creating. I'm creating a new tradition. I'm her father. I will release her with blessings. He will kneel down there. I will pour blessings that even if you were a madman, when you were marrying her, your madness will disappear. And I pray to God ahead of time that it will make me very rich. So when you people are leaving, I will haul blessings upon you. The Bible says houses and riches are from the Father. So I can give you a house, I can give you riches. It's a parent's responsibility. You must always, don't ever forget it, to bless your children. You must always bless them. You must speak words, all right, over them. You know, one of the things that God did for me when I was having children, that he gave me different types. I have children that are very attentive. I have children that they don't pay attention. And I was very happy after I reasoned about it. So it makes me very good in instructing people. And I say to them all the time, if you like, be attentive. If you like, be scattered. That's your personal problem. My duty as a parent is to rearrange you into destiny. So no matter how scattered you are, when you come back from school, they was, and look at this scattered child. What will I do with you? What is wrong with you? Can't you see your brother? This is a child. He doesn't know how to look at his brother. He does what is instinctive inside him. So, if you are supposed to be ordered and you are scattered, I will speak order into your life. Listen, it's not a day's job. No, pastor, you said we should speak order. We have spoken the order. The boy is still scattered. What shall we do? No. Until you stop being my son, I will continue to talk. Yeah, it doesn't take that long. If you do that, life is tempting. You understand my point? Satan tries to tempt you to hear what you will say and use the words you speak against you and against your family. Go and see the temptation of Job. In all of this, he did not sin with his mouth. It's what he will say that they were watching out for. So when the child is misbehaving, it's a temptation to speak negatively. There's one trick my wife and I have learned. Is this Jesus boy behavior Understand? I will never call you a Satan's child because you are my own. Where will I explain that? But if I don't like the behavior, I take the rod, which is commanded by God, which Oyinboma says is not necessary. The Bible says it's necessary, so it must be necessary. I said, this is not Jesus' boy's behavior. This is foolishness. Therefore, I shall flog that foolishness out of you. In the name of Jesus, foolishness, depart. That is, no matter what bad thing you do, I will never cooperate with my mouth to propel you into doing more bad. I said, you are not a scattered child. You are my son. I don't have any child that behaves like this. In Jesus' name, you are orderly. In Jesus' name, you will focus. In Jesus' name, you will be great. Come next day more scattered than yesterday. You have just come to collect hotter blessings. And eventually, I will triumph. I must. I mean, I'm commanded by God to triumph. The weapons of my warfare are not of the flesh. They are mighty through God. They pull down every stronghold of foolishness in the heart of a child. That's how we bring strong families. I don't know. You don't have the right to carry your child's case to the village meeting. My people, what are we going to do about Nemeka? I don't understand. You should be ashamed. You handle this thing by, listen, that's what Christianity is. God gives us wisdom. Somebody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
We take his word and tell this is what to do. The Bible says there is a proper procedure for every event. When we're young then, in fact, that thing used to annoy me with my mother. And said, look at this person. Look at this person. Look at this person. As I was growing, when she started to look at this person, I just get up and you start to just disappear. I don't want to look at anybody. Leave me alone. When I became older, she was talking about one of my younger sisters and began to do look at. I just said, mommy, you started again. That time I was not a big boy, you know. When you're a big boy, you can now talk as a man, you know, man to mother. Not man to man now. I said, mommy, wait, look at this person, it's unnecessary. Let us tackle the issue at hand. Stop comparing somebody with somebody else. Look, there are many things to say, and my time is really, really running fast. So let me continue the things I'm supposed to be saying. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are following me, say amen. Now, let me say this one again, and then we'll now, as the last one of our spiritual foundations, and I'll say some things about the outward things, and then we pray, and then we're out of here. That is, I'll finish my message. Now, if you go back to that, don't bother reading it, we have already read it. That Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 25, we read into chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. We read it throughout to the end of Ephesians 5, then into chapter 6, then we ended at 4. We actually should have started from verse 22 of the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I made a mistake. I wrote 25. Should have been 22. Now, if you go and read it, you will find out that what he said there, very important, please, don't miss what I'm saying now. That Ephesians chapter 5, let me just quickly rush back there. It said, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. You know the rest of the story, as Christ is the head of the church. Then 25, he said, husband, love your wives. And then if you see as he was going on, all right, he went ahead and said, next, it started like this. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husband, love your wives. Then children, obey your parents. And he said some things to them there. Remember, my teaching this morning is directly, primarily at parents. Let me just quickly say this. This is why I read this out. How many women here, all right, I want to ask you, would love their children to be very obedient to them and to their father, that is, for them to obey their parents? If you just say amen if you're like that.
Amen.
All right. You know, children learn by example. Having meditated upon the word of God, I found out something. The first example of obedience, the first example of honor, the first example of respect that a child is supposed to have towards his parents is the one that the mother has towards the father. Don't ever tell your child, your son, your daughter, you can't shout on your father if you are shouting on the father. It doesn't make sense. If he sees you raise your voice to talk to your husband, listen, Emeka, you won't kill me in this house,
That's your husband, though. You call him by the first name, you are shouting on him. You know, there are habits people learn from the rest of the world. I also learned as a child. But when I became a Christian husband, I told my wife, don't call me by my first name. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing evil in it, though. Eh? But in this, our current day, where everything good has been thrown out of the window because we are copying nonsense from America. I said, yeah, I'm a preacher, so let's set an example. You will not call me by my first name. Sarah said to her husband, what? My Lord. What is the modern word for my Lord? It's sir. A woman goes to the office, sees the boss, good morning, sir, and comes home, sees the husband, oh boy, you don't come. You go to the office. I don't care how old or how rich your boss is. He doesn't have as much authority over you as your husband. That's what the Bible teaches. And when you see the one, good morning, sir. When you see, good morning. When your husband is talking, I beg, I'm in a hurry, No, don't waste my time now. I'm coming. I beg. Hey. And then you don't understand why these children are so disrespectful. These children of these days, why are they so disrespectful? I'll tell you, simply they are copying the attitude of their mother. I said there is seed time and there is harvest. Many of our behaviors in life, we don't realize it. What we are doing is that we are teaching our children bad things. That's why they go to school and they are disobedient to their teachers. They see how you connive. You know, you don't know you are doing these things. You connive with them. Say, don't let your father know. No wahala. Then they'll connive with their sister. Don't let mommy know. That's all. You are teaching. You are sowing spiritual seeds and you are giving lessons. You don't know it. Then you say, this is not good. This is not good. And in the child's head, he's confused. How can it not be good if you are doing it? Emeka, you can't walk out when I'm talking to you. But yesterday when daddy was talking to you, you also walked out. So why can't I do it to you? God's order was, this is the man. He said, honor him. And I said, parents, children, obey your parents. So if you caught that, you have broken the order. That's why it went like that. Wives, be submissive to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Another thing we must never forget, husbands are supposed to love their wives. Amen? That is the example, again, that the children will have on how to take care of their siblings. They must see the way you are so concerned about what has to do with your wife. How this is, this is mommy's own, nobody should touch it. Please, I bought this one. There's a joke I play with my children sometimes. I say, hey, all of you, come here. When were you all born? Was mommy here before the rest of you? Yes, oh yeah, everybody, march out. That in this house, mommy is first. Do you get the point? My oldest son will say, I think I get the point. You do like this and leave the room. I say, hey, my friend, all of you move away. And there's a trick children play once in a while, and I've never fallen for it. God is so good. They'll come and say, daddy, can I take that biscuit? I'll now say, what did mommy say? Because something just let me know that they've already asked permission on that side, and the answer was no. I just say, what did mommy say? Did she say no? They will not like that. And what I always say is, if she says no, then sorry, no is no. Now, the oldest one has learned that these people, they never disagree on this matter. You can never get somebody to overturn the decision of another person. Never. It's one of the ways you show love and honor for your wife also. Don't mind your mother. Get up and go. That's very bad. You are sowing a seed of disobedience into the home. If you disagree with the mother, what you simply do, you call her to the side. How far now? Why are you saying he can't go? Let her explain. Persuade her. If she still insists, if she cannot be persuaded, for that day, for the sake of that child, the answer remains no. You don't agree with her, but because he has told the boy no, then no is no. And you can just tell him, say, well, you know, mommy has said no. If you can go and beg her, if she agrees, I will agree. But until mommy agrees, sorry, no is no. It's final. The boys, the girls, they will learn to fear God.
I didn't say they will learn to fear you. They will do what? They will learn to fear God. Listen, God is invisible. The Father is the first God they see. I hope you know that. That's the first God they see. You want to teach them the fear of God, you have to teach them the fear of parents. And you must show them the way you also fear God. No, that's not what the Bible says. God's word doesn't say it like that. We're not doing like that. Listen, that's a summary of the things I'm putting up for us as spiritual foundation. I have just a few minutes to go. I'll just rush over the rest. If I actually, most of it, I've already said it here and there. So I think I can just summarize everything at this point. But remember what I said? The spiritual things are first. Let's not be fighting. You know, imagine that a tap is leaking inside the house, or the roof is leaking, and the house is always wet. It's rainy season. And somebody says to you, what shall we do to keep this house clean? Let's go and buy plenty mop and bucket and packer and hire manpower. Does that make sense? The roof is leaking. What shall we do to keep the house dry? We'll buy mop. We'll buy this. No. What we do is we mend the roof. The first thing we do is to what? Mend the roof. And that's what I'm teaching. This is a foundational thing. If we learn to honor God in our personal lives, we treat the word of God with total respect. You understand? We learn to pray for our families. We understand our roles, especially we fathers, of being the priest and the prophet in the house. We understand our role and we perform those functions. We prophesy over our children. We prophesy over our wives if we are the husbands. And if we are the mothers, if we are the wives, we pray for our husbands. We pray for our family. Or we can also prophesy over our children. And we do that continually. And then we set godly examples before them in love and submission. The woman recognizing that I am the first example of the fear of God that these children are going to have as I relate with their father. And the man understanding that if they want to know the love of God, you understand? They must see, you know, some of us men, let me just add this on to it. We are more concerned about our mother and our cousins and our uncles, you know, and our village people. Why? Because we say that those ones will not understand. These ones will understand. That's nonsense understanding. I've not bought something for my wife and my children. I'm bothering to buy it for somebody else because those ones will not understand. I don't care whether you understand or not. That's your personal problem. You are not my responsibility primarily. These are the primary problems I have, you know, in quotes, in life. Whether they understand or not, the right thing is the right thing. Women often do it too. We want to be in good standing in the village. They're at home, we're in bad standing. Your children are seeing it. They know you have money, but village meeting won't let you buy him the new shirt he needs. We are the first example of God's love. That's why I brought that one up. The way we are concerned about our people, all right, we are the first examples of God's love. Now, when we have done all of these things, we have laid the genuine foundations. And every other thing shall be added to us. Other things like, these are the outward things we do. We gather the children, we pray together. Very, very important. And then the one we read from that, Jeremiah chapter 6. It said that this word, let's just go back there quickly. Let's read it, Jeremiah chapter 6. I read that one and I will close with it. Jeremiah chapter 6. The Lord is good. If you are learning something today, please shout a loud amen. I'm happy. Jeremiah chapter 6. Moses was speaking to them. He said that, let's just read from verse 6. Say, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and then you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts, on the doorposts of your house, and on your gates. If you have an amplified Bible, I would like you to, when you get home, read from that verse 7 in the Amplified. Amplified Bible says something like this, from verse 6. It says, and these words which I am commanding you today shall first be in your own heart and mind. Then you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of your children. Very, very dramatic, the way he puts it. The words shall first be in your own hearts and in your own mind, and then you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of your children. And how do you do that? You will talk about this word when you sit down. You will talk about it when you walk on the way, when you are driving, when you are lying there about to sleep. First thing in the morning, this is one thing we must do. Therefore, from these scriptures, we must constantly discuss the word of God in our homes. You know, my wife used to do something those days when my children were very, very small. When they want to sleep, she said, tell them bedtime story. She was fabricating all kinds of stories about Tolu Tolu. And then one day she said she talked to herself. What is all of this about Tolu Tolu? You now change it to Bible stories. And then Samson took the lion. And the child will be laughing. And Samson took the lion because he was anointed by God. Because the power of God was inside Samson. And he took the lion and took the lion and tore the lion apart. And then the lion could not eat Samson. And the child will be excited. And the child you're talking about is 2 years old. Is hearing the story of Samson. Because she told me once, they say, what's all of this Tolu Tolu story I'm always telling? All these folk tales. Why tortoise fell down from the heavens. And then he broke his back. I'm not saying they are evil. They're a waste of time. That's what I'm saying. Tell the story of how water came forth from the rock. It's a good story too. How the Red Sea divided. And as they grow older, stronger, more direct scriptures must be discussed. Please, let us not, I'll end with this story. Let us not discuss things that divide. Don't discuss things that will make your children, your wife, hate your neighbor. Are you getting my point? It's not good. Once, let me end with this story, like I said. Once I watched on TV, a young boy, a 17-year-old boy, this was on CNN, they followed the case for a very long time. He was arrested for shooting an elderly white woman who had gone to go and, she and her husband had gone to go and visit their children and their grandchildren. So as they were driving by back, this boy just graduated from what we call secondary school, high school in America. The boy was 17. He and his friends had to go and steal a car. So they saw a white Mercedes-Benz 190 passing. So they pursued the car, and that was the car this white couple were inside, elderly couple. So they stopped the car, came out. They dragged the owners of the cars out. That boy happened to be carrying a gun. It was a man, he killed. It was an elderly white man, not the woman, the man. He pulled the man out, cocked his gun, and shot the man. He told the man to lie down. The man lay down, he fired at him. And told the friends, hey, shoot that woman. And the friends were like, what? We're not supposed to shoot anybody, we're supposed to just steal a car. So they refused to shoot, of course. They refused to shoot. And then they took the car and disappeared. And if you know America very well, no be Nigerian police. They will catch you. If you like disappear to the moon, they will catch you. How much more? You are not even an experienced thief. You're just a small boy feeling irate, you know? So they caught them. The story was told. What happened? This boy shot the elderly white man. And the man died. So they put him on trial. And Americans, this was in Texas. If you know Texas, Americans call them the human and that's execution capital of the world. They kill you. They don't have time for a story. Once they send after a while, they ice the fellow. So this boy was sentenced to death. And that's what the gist is about. The story is that Christiana Mampo was interviewing the boy inside the cell. It's a death row cell where it was waiting to be executed. And they were appealing the case, whether they would give them stay of judgment and execution and all of that. Saying whether they can commit to life imprisonment. But they refused. Eventually, they killed the boy anyway. In fact, the thing was very... They even show you the body of the boy after he died and all of that. They buried him. Now, this is the point. They asked the boy, say, why did you do this? He said, I don't know. Now, listen to this. He said, I don't know. He said, will I say... Because he didn't have a criminal record. He had never been in trouble. He said, why did I do this? He said, I don't know. Is it my friends? He said, no, it can't be my friends. I'm the leader amongst them. He was a football captain in their school. That normally when I'm with my friends, I'm the one that's in charge. Is it my parents? He thought, no, that they don't do things like this. Let's make a long story short. He said he had no idea why he did it. Then that set me, you know, because I'm a Bible teacher, I'm always looking at explanation from the Bible. That set me thinking, why did he do it? Of course, the summary of it is that there was an evil spirit, which is a spirit of murder, that entered him at that particular point in time, just like a spirit entered into Judas And he made him do it. That's the truth. That's what happened. When they say devil, when somebody says that devil pushed me, it's not a lie. Devil pushes people. You understand my point? If you go and read your Bible, he pushed Peter to talk nonsense to Jesus Christ. He pushed Judas to go and betray Jesus. That also, the Bible says Satan entered into him. So it happens. But the point is that Satan cannot enter when you don't open a door. You must first open the door through which Satan will enter. So the Bible said that Judas was a thief, and that was the door that Satan used to enter into his life so that he betrayed Jesus Christ. All right? Now, this is the point. I thought about it. Why did this boy do it? Now, I believe it was the Holy Spirit. I can't be dogmatic, but it will help me understand what I'm saying. I asked and thought and prayed and wondered that I got the answer why he did it. He did not know. He died not knowing, but I knew. What was the reason? He was a black boy in Texas. Is a boy who his parents had taught him about white oppression. They have spoken about white people in the house all the time as the reason why they don't do well and how the white people are wicked to them. They have discussed white people every day. Inside the boy, the anger against white people was frozen like this. The day he got a white man under his hands, he did not know when he avenged his people of the adversary. Be careful what you discuss in the home. If you must discuss things like that, enter into the corner, just you and your wife. Don't let your children think everybody is a saint. Warn them how to relate with people, but please don't poison their minds. There are people not, till now, they tell their children, you can't marry from there, the people are very wicked. And it's a lie. And the children grow up believing that people from that zone are very wicked. And they have never experienced any wickedness from that area. Let us be careful. What should we be discussing? Let's stop discussing economic hardship. Let's discuss the faithfulness of God. When my wife is driving my children to school, you know, there are beggars at junctions. When my children make any comment, my wife will stop them and say, listen, the only reason why you are not there begging is because of the grace of God. So learn to appreciate that they are human beings also. That is how she talks about it. Discuss the word of God at home. Stop whining and complaining about the government. Your children will steal if you keep talking like that. No matter how things are, God will help us. He's a faithful God. He always provides. Let them get used to that. Let them get used to that. Don't let them go out angry with the world. No, let's bring the Spirit of Christ into them by discussing the Word of God continually. I hope I bless you this morning. If I have, please shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Make me happy, shout a louder one.
Amen.
It's good to know that you bless people when you go and preach. Everybody else, my friend, stone him. I'm happy I was blessed. Let's just bow down our heads and just pray. Let us pray. Let's bow down our heads and say, Father, we thank you because your word is good. Say, Lord, we thank you. I appreciate the beauty of your word. For that which you have taught me today. You know, earlier on, we were praying a prayer of repentance. I think it's a good time to pray. When light comes, it always shows us the dark places in our hearts. And God is not angry with us. He's just saying we should repent. He said, only acknowledge your iniquity. Just acknowledge. Just say, Lord, these are the areas where I have not done well. This is how I have spoken evil in the home and have poisoned the hearts of my children against God, against their father or against their mother, against neighbors, against the country. This is how I have spoken and have shown disrespect towards my husband in the house and my children have learned disrespect. Lord, have mercy on me. God said, if you do this, he's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That is, he will remove that evil spirit that's trying to enter into your home by reason of your disobedience. He will drive it out because of your righteousness, which you have attained to by the blood of Jesus and the power of confession. So pray this morning and say, Lord, I repent. As I was speaking, you need different areas where you're supposed to repent. Just pick those areas and say, Lord, see you. I did not know it before. Now I know it. Thank you for light today. I confess my sin in that area, and I thank you because you have forgiven me. Say, Lord, the word I have heard today, don't let it depart from my heart. Don't let it depart from my heart. I want to walk with you so that I may build a very strong family. This I pray in the name of Jesus Christ.